Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today's topic of our podcast is Edmund Kemper, who was a serial killer. Surprise! And we're going to talk a little bit about his deeds, his dastardly deeds. But before we do, I want to introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm great, Tim. How are you?
It's good to see you. I see you still playing Candy Crush as we speak. Do you ever stop? Do you sleep? Do you just, like, play all night?
I do sleep.
Have you mastered Candy Crush yet?
And if only I was playing Candy Crush, then that's something that we could discuss.
Well, I don't know what you're doing over there with your phone, but we're glad you're here today.
I am too.
And, of course, in our presence is the very distinguished, honorable, debonair, and a bit chubby, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I got up feeling pretty good about myself. But
I'm just saying you look a little full.
The Colonel is a stocky man. The Colonel lived a good life.
Well, I didn't call you fat and stupid like Brandy would have.
Well, yeah, that's true. I appreciate that. But
what an asshole. What is that?
When do we get to introduce him?
Right.
That's what I want to know. When do we get to you never really do get a proper introduction.
Well, I'm a man that doesn't need an introduction.
Okay, well.
I would like to say, though, I would like to apologize for our last podcast we did on Rose and Fred West.
Where you were smoking weed before the podcast?
I was
apologizing for that. That was the best thing ever.
I kind of lost it a little bit during the podcast.
The man couldn't walk a straight line. It was funny.
It displayed a lack of professionalism that it was really hard for me to watch.
Yeah, I know. And
me as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you who were calling Rose fat stupid the whole podcast.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah. But my mom enjoyed
it.
My mom, I did not write fat stupid. Mm-hmm. I said she was overweight and of low IQ. Clean it up a little.
She doesn't get cleaned up. She's a serial killer.
Well, my mom enjoyed your description of her being fat.
Well, if Dottie liked it, then it's good enough.
That's all that mattered.
Okay, Colonel, tell us what's going on with you. We hear you've got some big news.
I do have some big news, Timmy. Now, as you know, I've been running in the presidential race here.
Yeah, you haven't been I haven't seen you in any polls. I haven't seen you in any
debates. That's because
nobody has.
Nobody, if you look historically, it's the late surgers that always win it.
Yeah, really?
At this time. In the last 8 years ago, nobody knew who Barack Obama was.
Yeah.
This guy, he's just going to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So the Colonel been saving his momentum. But then I thought? Well, first of all, I had...
Yeah, and there's some misfortune in your campaign.
There's going to be a press conference. My running mate apparently has had a scandalous past.
Scott Cannon.
Yeah, apparently, Scott. I have not vetted him properly.
Yeah, see, you got to do your homework, Colonel. It's a poor reflection on you. It's like with Sarah Palin.
Well, my handlers all said that he was... that he was good to go, and then I found out later that Scott likes to use campaign funds on beer and pizza.
Yeah, well, see, you can't do that. That's the wrong.
And travel, and gambling.
Yeah,
and
all of which, of course, you do not approve of.
I do not approve of such immoralities.
Yeah,
but Scott,
so you're going to
while you are a fine man, I think it's really hurt us at the polls. It's taken.
That's
hurting.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the
problem. Really dropped off after that.
I got plenty of time to get a new running mate.
Right. You can see this Ross Perot's old running mate still available.
If I can't be president with Scott as my vice president, I don't want to be president.
So
if Love and Scott is wrong, you don't want to be right.
If Love and Scott is wrong, the Colonel don't want to be right. So you know what? I go down with the ship, me and Scott. But you know what?
You're just like the guy in the Titanic.
We still got $42 in campaign funds that we can use on Domino's Pizza and beer.
Yeah, well, hey, you come out ahead.
And as I was thinking about this, you know, I'm troubled by it.
Yeah.
Because I want to, you know, the Colonel helped the country out. That's what I'm at. I'm the Colonel here to serve.
That's what you're all about. The Colonel here to serve. You wear that hat that says, make America great again.
Right.
Baseball cap.
I figured out a way that I could actually serve America better than being president.
How is that? How could you possibly serve your country, Colonel, provide a greater service than being president of the United States?
The Colonel going to go on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, well. That will be a greater service.
I believe it would be.
So you're announcing today that you're going to be a contestant on the next...
It's not really going to be a contest. We all know that. But the Colonel going to be involved in Dancing with the Stars.
Next season?
Participant next season, yeah.
So are you preparing for your appearance?
Oh, yeah. Me and Betty White, we've been practicing
quite
a bit.
First of all, we do not take the name of Betty White in vain.
Well, Angela Lansbury apparently was not available.
You better get some Valerie Harper or some Mary Tyler Moore.
Valerie Harper she's circling the drain. I don't want to pin my hopes on Valerie Harper.
Well, we don't talk about it.
So
Betty White would not lower herself to dance with you.
So Colonel, you're going to what kind of dances are you?
You know, we're going to do some of the ones the Colonel's perfected over the years. We got we got the Watusi.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. The Jitterbug.
I can see you doing the Watusi.
And we're going to...
The Charleston? Are you going to put your hands on your knees and then, like, swing back and forth?
Wave your hands in the air like
we probably
don't
do the twist a little bit. And now Betty White does a mean Michael Jackson moonwalk.
Betty White can do whatever she wants.
So we might do that. And, let's just say it's Colonel time.
We're not going to say that.
So you're going to use a typewriter is what you're
I'm
going
to give me some baggy pants, genie pants, and me and Betty going to just...
I look forward to that. I was looking forward for you to you being president, but I'm
Well,
really,
I have not ruled that out, but...
You might be do both. You might be the first president to be
You
called.
Could be fantastic.
Yeah, if we could get...
this guy.
Scott past his scandal.
And
Scott is going and you know Scott.
Are you sending him into
your bravery?
Rehab?
Scott's bravery.
Yeah.
And his courage.
Mm-hmm.
In entering a rehabilitation program.
Did he say no?
You mean he may just need to find the Lord, and get saved, and then he can be back on campaign trail next week.
No, Scott knows Jesus.
Next week.
But
that's all it takes. Yes.
But he's fine. So, you know, so the Colonel going to be all right. The Colonel going to serve his country. Now, let's get to tell you some interesting stuff we had this week. Now, Canute, we got just a bunch of pictures of the prettiest place I've seen yet. I mean...
I'm really moving Norway up on my to-go list. I mean, it's beautiful.
And,
it's
you know, the question I'd like
no,
to ask
is... No, they don't have snow yet.
Is he a... these look like they're almost professional photographs.
Yeah.
So he must be a an amateur photographer or something, because yeah. these are wonderful pictures. Canute, we're gonna hook you up with a 8x10 kernel picture with an autograph. Yeah, well, ain't nobody wants one of the devil, so
that's hurtful.
Well, maybe no, we can, maybe saying, we should take a team photo.
What are we gonna do? We remember we have 500 pictures of the devil given printed up, and we given out three.
That's hurtful.
They're out
to your
there
mama, one to your daddy, and one to your little kid.
First of all, you didn't give any to my.
They're in the back room with the History Dweeb T-shirts.
Exactly.
You gave none to my parents.
And some shout-outs we got to give out here too. Now you know our favorite listener and my favorite person is Dottie Scott. She is.
Hi, Dottie.
Dottie is the kind of woman that built this country.
She is?
Oh, absolutely. Well, now, Dottie, now you got...
Why the country is messed up?
No, Dottie's generation...
Talk about Dottie like that.
Dottie's generation was the greatest generation.
That's true.
And then, you know what she did? She had kids like you that messed it all up.
I mean,
just jacked it all out.
What can I say? You can say nothing.
Colleen.
Our friend from Michigan,
who gives us just numerous good ideas.
She posts a lot on the Facebook page.
We appreciate your support. We appreciate your ideas. Because we're not real creative people, and we're not, as you can see, the other two are not very smart people. And I can't carry this thing by myself. The Colonel, although I do got broad shoulders, and as Tim pointed out, I'm a stocky man. I can't carry this whole thing by myself now.
And all that time spent researching and writing the scripts and lugging the equipment around, that's right. Really bringing you down.
Oh my gosh. It's weighing me down.
You're crying.
And Beverly, who shall from now on be referred to as, because I found out she's British. Well, we knew she was British.
Right.
But what I did not know, and I mentioned the last time, is her husband is a doctor. He is a PhD in chemistry. Very renowned man, very well-known man over there, so I'm not going to talk about him too much because I don't want to embarrass him by being associated with this show.
Good idea.
So we are from now on going to call her Lady Beverly.
She shall
be known as Lady Beverly.
Okay, that's a little aristocratic.
Yes, and a shout out to her daughter too. If you seen the two, they are a spitting image of one another. Lovely ladies, both of them.
Yes, thank you, Beverly, for listening.
So we would like to give a shout out, and she's got some ideas, and we are trying to figure out the logistics of doing potentially a show with her, working her in that
yes.
6-hour time
yes.
difference.
Yeah.
But she...
that means you would have to get here early.
No,
at least on time.
It means Beverly may have to stay up late. but Beverly, thank you for listening, and thank you for the support, and thank you for the encouragement.
Yes. Okay, so anything from your foundation that you want to mention?
No, everything with the Dead Penis Society has gone well. We had a fundraiser.
So, like, let me get this, because I saw your fundraiser, and the more money you get, you have instead
Is
of
it a fun
ther-
run?
They have a sign that's instead of a thermometer,
it's a penis,
and as the donations come in,
the penis gets more erect.
Yeah, so you're kind of at half mast right now. Or?
We're kind of at what you would call a chubby, right
you
now.
You should have a fun run.
A 5K.
we should do a 6-incher. But anyway.
Oh, gosh. Okay. We're deteriorating. Let's get on to the story. Okay. So.
I forgot to mention.
Yes.
Because he does listen, happy birthday to my boy Logan.
Oh, yeah,
happy
Logan.
Birthday.
18
years
happy birthday.
Old. I am now.
Can he get hookers now?
I no longer...
You're so old now.
What's that?
You're so old.
I no longer have children. My children are all
true.
Adults now.
Yeah, and
you're still paying for them.
And I'm still paying for it.
And they can have you committed now.
They can have you committed, but I can also have them arrested. So
that sounds so much fun at your house.
Oh, it's a blast, but the boy turned 18. Very proud of the young man. So that was over the weekend. Exciting. And I am officially an old man, although it's disturbed Renee quite a bit because Tanner, his twin brother, said, you know, put a post on Facebook that said, while I'm excited, my brother is 18 and, you know, he can do this. What does not excite me and disturbs me is all my friends who have these crushes on Logan feel free to pound. Now feel that they can pound on legal him. Now. And Tanner's friends started chiming in, oh my goodness, Logan is 18 and legal now? And finally my wife had to intervene on the thread and say, you little college cougars, back off and get in your rooms, hussies. So
the fun is going to be. Fun is going to begin now for Logan. Well, happy birthday, Logan. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about Edmund Kemper, who was a serial killer back in the 1970s. Edmund Emil Kemper III. Oh, there was two others. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Took it three times to perfect. Edmund Emil Kemper III was born on December 18th, 1948. Now, interesting enough, that was 1 week before Christmas in 1948. Exactly.
It would have been 1 week before Christmas in 1949 also.
Yeah, but he was born in 48.
Yeah.
So it would have been a year.
The odds week. Of that happening.
What are the chances of that happening?
Yeah. So December 18th, 1948, Ed became known as Big Ed because he was
big.
Yeah. Yeah.
The husky fella.
He was husky. He was also known as, that's not a bad nickname per se. His other two were not as appealing. And those were the co-ed killer and the co-ed butcher. Now, either of those monikers you don't want.
Those are not if you're, you know, playing, if you're on the Tinder or whatever app it is you use all the time to meet these young girls, that is not what you want your screen name to be.
I'm not going to use
the co-ed
that
killer,
on,
co-ed snatcher.
On Tinder or Craigslist or wherever. Okay. But anyway, being that he was an American serial killer, then those names are appropriate, don't you think?
Big Ed.
Well, being that he killed college women.
Yes. Ed was an American serial killer and a necrophile. What do you think about that, Colonel?
Well, being married 28 years, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes, Tim.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Renee is going to kill you.
You know,
she is going to have to be a necrophile after she hears that.
For the men who've been married a long, long time, do you know how you tell if the wife is passed on?
How do you tell, Colonel?
Well, yeah, the sex is the same, Timmy, but the dishes pile up in the sink.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, Ed was a serial killer. Back to Big Ed.
I love that one.
That was actually pretty good. Big Ed was an American serial killer and necrophile who was active in California in the early 1970s. He started his criminal life, quite appropriately, I think, by murdering his grandparents when he was 15 years old. And he later killed and dismembered six female hitchhikers in the Santa Cruz area, which, by the way, is in near the Bay Area in California, where I just came from. It's very beautiful out there. In fact, there's a couple of shows that we've got coming up kind of focuses on the Bay Area. It's just a coincidence. But anyway, Big Ed, he also murdered his mother and one of her friends before finally turning himself into authorities. He was a very imposing guy, Big Ed. As you could probably guess by his name, he was tall. He was 6'9", and he also weighed over 300 pounds. But he was also a pretty intelligent fella. He had an IQ near the range of me. He was at 140, and really his size and his brilliance left very little left for a little chance for his victims to overcome him. And so now let's talk a little bit about some of his dastardly deeds.
So in his early life, he was a middle child.
That means he had someone born before him and after him.
Thank you for clearing that up. He was the middle child born to Edmund Emil Kemper Jr.
The second.
And Claire Nell Stage,
who probably was the son of
Edward Emil Kemper
Sr.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And Claire Nell Stage.
She was a stage mom.
She really was, kind of, yeah.
Okay, I'm shutting up. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're mouthy.
I'm telling you, I'm manic today.
As a child, he was very bright, but he exhibited antisocial and psychopathic behaviors, such as cruelty to animals. He fatally stabbed his pet cat at the age of 13.
So he was not a cat man.
He hated cats.
He was not a cat person.
No.
Yeah,
he liked to bury animals alive, including the family's pet cat, and would later dig
them up. Wait a minute, he stabbed the damn thing, and then he buried it alive?
No, they got another cat, and he buried that one alive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he'd later dig them up for further torture. He would act out bizarre sexual rituals with his sister's dolls and exhibited a dark fantasy life.
Well, now, who hasn't done that?
Him and his eldest sister had a bit of a...
Sometimes he makes offhand comments that disturb you.
You remember Gumbo and Pokey?
Gumby, damn it.
Gumby and Pokey?
Gumby, damn it.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Okay.
They had this little BDSM thing going on. That's all I'm going to say.
You could arrange them any way you wanted.
It really
it
can.
It was flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So him and his eldest sister had a bit of a rough relationship where she tried to kill him on several occasions.
See, that's why we need Casey here today, because I want to hear those stories, what you did to him when he was young.
I protected his little weak ass.
Whose sister hasn't tried to kill him, though?
Ed's
sister pushed him into the deep end of the swimming pool and tried to drown him. She also tried to push him in front of a moving train.
No, I can see the swimming pool, you know, sink or swim type of thing. But the train...
You can't come back from that.
No.
Well, you know, she was just trying to help him develop his reflexes.
Yeah.
And teach him to be prepared for anything.
He had a close relationship with his father and was devastated when his parents divorced in 1957. And he had to be raised by his mother in Helena, Montana.
That's okay, go ahead.
He had a severely dysfunctional relationship with his mother, Claire Nell, who was a violent alcoholic and constantly belittle, humiliate, and verbally abuse him.
Did she have a metal plate in her head?
Much like I received.
Much like
the treatment I received here.
Much like every other serial killer that we have talked about, and yeah, much like you inflict upon me and Timmy, except
not
we have not turned to serial killers.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a pattern here. First, his sister pushes him from a train. Now his mom is being a...
being just a...
Wait a minute.
Old bitty.
Wait a minute. You run into one asshole in a day, they're the asshole. Yeah. If you consistently run into assholes throughout the day.
I'm just saying, the women in his life.
When you stab a cat and you bury the cat alive. And
you kind of write your own, that's your story there.
It's hard to generate a whole lot of sympathy when somebody whose cat you have, one cat is stabbed, the other cat you buried alive, because they're probably the sister's cat. It's hard to generate a whole lot of sympathy when they try to push you in front of a train.
Well, true, but we don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. Maybe he was reacting to being pushed in front of the train.
Well, Claire Nell,
yeah,
who wasn't much better, often made her son sleep in a locked basement because she feared he would rape his younger sister.
Which apparently is not all that...
She wasn't that far out of line.
Yeah.
It's valid.
You know, it's better, you know, better
Although,
be prepared.
It needs to be said that it was alleged that his mother had a borderline personality disorder. So, there's that.
So, take that with a grain of salt.
Right. Yeah. In the summer of 1963, Kemper ran away from home in search of his father in Van Nuys, California. Once there, he learned his father had remarried and had another son. Kemper stayed with his father for a short while until the elder Kemper sent him back to Montana. Clarinell, however, was having none of it. She did not want him back in the house.
So he goes to his dad. Dad sends him away. Comes back. Mom's like, nah.
So she sends him to live with his paternal grandparents, Edmund and Maud Kemper.
This is not a good move.
Now, sometimes you take in people and you get mad because they don't clean up after themselves. They don't do this. They don't do that. But he was possibly the worst house guest you could ever have.
Well, they lived out on a 17-acre ranch in the mountains of North Fork, California. Kemper hated living there. He referred to his grandfather as senile and claimed that his grandmother was constantly emasculating him and his grandfather.
Don't you hate that when your grandmother constantly emasculates you?
She just rips your sack right off of you.
Sweetie. My grandma used to say that to my dad all the time. She was going to split his sack and run his leg through it. She was a lovely woman. Not Sweet D.
That explains a couple of things all of a sudden.
Well, it's good thing Sweet D didn't
pieces
didn't
are falling into place here about the devil.
Yeah.
Not Sweet D. Sweet D's awesome. Yes. So, Kemper's grandmother, Maud Matilda Huey Kemper, she wrote children's books. While she's emasculating people, she wrote children's books.
She's like Dr. Seuss.
A little bit.
Jack and Jill went up the hill.
Because Jack was such a peckerhead and couldn't afford a car to get up the hill.
Because Jack wasn't man enough to have a car.
Exactly. Because he gambled up the
road. Yeah. Billy up the road took Jack's car. And if Jack was a real man,
he would have thumped his ass. Yeah. On August 27th of 1964, Kemper's grandmother was sitting at the kitchen table, minding her business,
nagging,
working on her book.
What was the book she was working on?
It was a children's book.
Green eggs and spam.
Might be. When she and Kemper began to argue, we don't know what about.
Grenades and
probably eggs. Probably called him a sissy or something.
Yeah.
Billy's a lazy ass munch. Yeah. That's what it was called.
It's hard to think about just constantly. It's like poking a tiger. The man is 6'9" and over 300 pounds.
Yeah, but you know, Grandma was one of those old women.
Oh, I know.
She probably told him to put his big girl panties on or something.
She might have.
She might have actually given him girl panties.
Eventually, though, this argument led to Kemper. It's not funny. Kemper shot her in the head, and then stabbed her with a kitchen knife.
Well, that's where
he's trying to make sure.
He didn't want to. He did. At least it's not like he buried her alive.
It's a little redundant, I don't think.
He was a thorough man.
When his grandfather came home from grocery shopping, just picking up some eggs, just ran out for smokes and milk.
Wow, okay.
Kemper just walked outside and shot him in the driveway.
Now, what the old man ever do to him?
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I don't know. He was being beat down by the old woman, too. I would think they'd have a camaraderie.
You think he'd be like, we're having Domino. We're getting Taco Bell tonight. We're going to celebrate.
Yeah, we're going to watch the game.
Ding-dong, the witch is dead. Now, help me
get her to the yard.
Ditch, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kemper called his mother, who told him to call police. When questioned, he said he just wanted to see what it felt like to kill Grandma. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And he killed his grandfather because he knew his grandfather would be angry with him for what he'd done to his grandma.
Well, he was going to be peeved. Have been wrong. He may have been wrong. Except Grandma.
But he was senile, so he might have forgot about it after a few minutes.
Right.
Where's Grandma again?
At 15, Kemper was committed to Atascadero State Hospital, where he befriended his psychologist and even became his assistant.
Man. Ed, could you help these people over here?
Well, what kind of psychologist, first of all, what kind of psychologist allows that to happen? Like, you get sucked in. You're not very good.
Well, you know, we do not know
much. He actually
went
to prison and got promoted.
Yeah.
We do not know much about the grandparents. That's all I'm saying. Maybe the psychologist heard a different side of the story and was like, well, that was a weird
thing. No, I'm sorry. No.
Okay, so he kills Grandma, Grandpa, goes to, sent away for 5 years, and now he's become, or to a mental hospital, and he becomes an assistant to the psychiatrist. Just
recapping. Okay. Yes.
I'm mending.
So during his time there, it was revealed he had an IQ of 136, and later into his adulthood, he tested 145.
Yeah, so he was right like me.
Or different. Let's see. Kemper was released in 1969 after serving fewer than the 5 years that he was sentenced to.
You kill your grandma and grandpa and you get 5 years.
And he got less than 5 years.
He didn't even do the 5 years.
At the time of his
release.
Now,
that's smart.
Now, wait a minute. Keep in mind, what is this kid, 15 when he goes in?
Well,
he was 15 when he went in. Yeah. He served less than 5 years, so the kid's not 20 yet. He had grown to 6'9" tall and weighed close to 280 pounds.
Big Ed.
That is apropos.
Now, Colonel, since you're talking about someone of that proportion, and I know your foundation, the Dead Penis Society, what would your guesstimate be on his?
Ew, no. So against the wishes of several doctors at the hospital.
Now, come on, Devil, you know you thought about it.
No, I have not. No.
Every time we say Big Ed, I can see your ears perk up a little bit.
I enjoy my head being attached to my body. Thank you. Against the wishes of several doctors at the hospital, he was released into his mother's care.
Yeah, that was a good move.
She was the one that told him to call the police. That's all I'm saying.
She locked him back in the basement.
Yeah. Kemper later demonstrated further to the psychologist that he was well and his juvenile records were expunged. He worked a series of menial jobs before securing work with the state of California's Department of Public Works and Division of Highways in District 4.
You know, this kind of, this was earlier. Well, I'm comparing this to the two, when we did When Children Kill, Mary Bell, she was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
She's like, she served a long time. And then the other,
they're out in California.
I Hate Mondays. Killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like 15, right? And she's still in.
This
dude kills grandma and grandpa.
I don't understand.
And he's out in 5 years. All right, go ahead.
By that time, when he's got his job at ODOT, not ODOT, but DOT, he weighed about 300 pounds.
So not
six,
only...
6'9", 300 pounds.
Not only does he kill his grandparents, go to prison, become a physician's assistant... He then gets out and gets a state job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what Chuck did.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, you would think Ed's getting on the right path. Ed's got things turned around. Ed's going down. And he was released when, Brandy, roughly?
Let's see. He was released in 1969 after serving fewer than 5 years.
So he had a good run of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But starting in May of 1972, and this in the space of 11 months, this man did this, he just started killing people.
Okay.
And most of this was driven, and anyone who has a close relationship with a female knows that they can drive you to do lots of crazy things. But I can't even attribute this to his crazy mother, because the stuff he did, he didn't just go out and kill people. What Ed liked to do, and I'll give you his first two victims, Marianne Piesk, mm-hmm. and Anita Lachiza. On May 7th, Kemper's driving through Berkeley when he picked up the two 18-year-old girls hitchhiking. Now, these girls were going to Fresno State, and the pretext was he was going to take them to Stanford University, where they was going to go to a party.
Beautiful campus, by the way.
Yeah. Now, after driving for about an hour, Ed finds a secluded area in the woods near Alameda, and he smothered and stabbed Peace to death before finally stabbing Luchiza. So Kimpo, he's a big guy. He's got a 1969 Ford. You know, they had a lot of trunk room back then.
Mm-hmm.
He just tosses them both in the trunk and goes back to his apartment. Jeez. Now, in his room, he drags them up to the room. He takes some pornographic photographs of the naked corpses before dismembering them and putting the body parts into a plastic bag.
Yeah.
He threw that later on in a mountain, dropped them off in the mountains. But the one thing that he did, he saved their heads.
Yes.
He didn't save them, but before he disposed of their heads,
mm-hmm.
He orally raped both heads.
Ugh.
Yep.
Yes. So, now...
So, I mean, do you mean like oral sex?
Yes.
Ugh.
That's exactly what I mean.
The oral sex.
Well, he had a predilection for this. He would do it to all his victims.
Mm-hmm.
He was a... And that can't be attributed to a bad mama. That's got to be just a bad seed right
well,
there.
Well, bad mama and bad sister.
Yeah, you know, that can make you pick up people and hit them in the head with a hammer, you know. But when you're chopping people up in little parts, okay,
yeah,
I can even get that.
Yeah,
but when you
Randy
put them,
couldn't even drive you to do something like that.
The devil couldn't drive somebody to chop off somebody's head and then say, oh, you know what would be a good idea right now? I would like me a little Hummer action right now. And then grab them by the ears, and it's the head bobbing up off the shoulders. So anyway,
you're very descriptive in that.
Well, it's a gruesome thing. I want our listeners to understand how gruesome this was. And now, our next one is Aiko Ku. Ed apparently was not, you know, did not discriminate.
Do you think she's Asian?
She's a bird. If Aiko Ku, she's either Asian or a bird.
Or Japanese.
Japanese, yeah. So, but he picks her up too. She decided to and kids, quit hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And when a 6'9" guy come pick you up in a car, just say, "Oh no, thank you. I'll wait for somebody who ain't gonna dismember me and rape my severed head."
But this was like 1970, so I think hitchhiking.
Everybody was hitchhiking, but he picks her up. And for some reason now with this girl, little 15-year-old girl, he pulls a gun on her. Then he pulls her over to the side of the road and strangles her to death. And he didn't shoot her because he didn't want to obviously ruin the head because he had plans for that.
Yes.
Now this when he raped the corpse and raped the head. Now this is, you know, this has happened in a very quick time frame. This happened in September of 72. The next one, January, and, you know, serial killers usually have a cooling down period, and he didn't really have this on January, which was just less than 3 months later, and he liked college campuses. He's going around Cabrillo campus. He picks up a 19-year-old student named Cindy Shaw. He likes secluded areas. That's where serial killers like to kill people, typically in secluded areas or in basements.
You know, get your degree online. That's what I would suggest.
And now this one he shot with a .22 caliber pistol. Again, he throws her in the trunk of a car, drives back
to
his mama's house.
This one he shoots.
Yeah. Drives back to her mama's house. Now this one he kept in his room overnight so he could remove the bullet from her head and decapitate her. And then he, you know, went about his business, did his deal with the head like he normally does.
So he raped her head as well.
He raped her corpse, pulled the bullet, because I guess he didn't want to get lead poisoning or something. I don't know. He was trying to have safe sex. So.
Yeah,
he pulls the bullet out of her head, decapitates her, has sex with the body, has sex with the head.
This guy's like Ed Gein.
Well, and then, you know, just to show he had a little bit of a sense of humor about this whole thing, he buried the head
the severed head in his mom's garden, facing right up at his mother's bedroom as a joke, later remarking he always wanted people to look up at her. And then he dismembered
quite
the rest
of her body.
Isn't
he?
Now,
he is.
Ed was a smart guy, and he liked to hang out at this bar called the Jury Room. And this was a very popular hangout with local law enforcement officials. So Ed befriended a lot of the Santa Cruz County police officers. So he knew what was going on with the investigation.
And so they would share information with him. Or
loose
lips sink ships.
Exactly. And not one of these guys suspected Ed, and they discussed the case freely with him all the time. So he was... now he's got Sidney Shaw. Now, January, and September seems to be, if you look at September seems to be a month Ed likes to kill. September of 72,
weather is good.
Killed her, yeah. Then we get down to Good Friday, which was good for some, bad for others. Good Friday, Ed comes home. April 20th, 1973. He's waiting for his mama to come home from a party. He fell asleep and was awakened by her harpy, nagging voice as she came through the door. Now, his mother's sitting in bed, and his mother was sitting in bed reading the paperback, and she noticed Ed entered the room. She said, "I suppose you're going to want to sit up and all night and talk now."
She wasn't one for talking.
Think about this. You walk in to see your mama, and she's like, "Oh, I suppose you want to talk to me." She probably got, you know, she got a cigarette dangling out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Probably got a half empty beer in her hand.
Yeah.
You know, this woman don't even have curlers. She just laying in her own filth, probably. But Ed just replied, "No, mama, good night," before beating her to death with a claw hammer.
It's about time.
How is that funny?
Well, when you come in and you say, "I guess you want to talk all night, Ed." And he says, "No, good night, mama." And when he said good night, he literally meant good night. He beat her to death with a claw hammer.
Apparently he didn't want to talk.
No, he did not want to talk. It was feeling a little bit frisky, so he decapitated her.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yanked out her dentures.
Oh.
I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming the woman had dentures.
Oh.
And thought, oh, my goodness, because Ed was used to the younger girls who got the real teeth in there. You got to be careful. But his mama, she ain't got number gum in there, and he just goes to town at her. So he
raped his mom's
He orally raped her severed head before using her head as a dartboard. And he made a point.
He threw darts at her head?
Threw darts at her violated head. Yes. I guess, you know, it's like a dartboard. If you get the tip of the nose, it's a triple 20 or a bullseye or whatever.
So he had a lot of anger issues with mom, apparently.
Well, I'd say anybody that beats your mama to death with a claw hammer has a little bit of anger built up in them. A
little bit.
Yeah.
So
I bet she regrets locking him in the basement now.
Well, no, I bet she regrets letting his ass out of the basement.
Probably so. My God.
And it's just a symbolic gesture. And who amongst us has not wanted to do this to the occasional hoppy? He ripped out her vocal cords and threw them in a garbage disposal.
He ripped out his mother's vocal cords and put them in a garbage disposal.
Why would you call me a harpy?
So you thought doing that?
I said harpy, and she said, "Why did you call?"
Yeah.
You gestured. There was gesturing.
Timmy, is somebody feeling a little defensive or uneasy about this?
Perhaps.
So, but you know what? His mama was a tough woman, and she'd been talking and yapping and harping and nagging for years.
Strong vocal cords.
Yeah, and it's the damn garbage disposal. Spit the vocal cords right back at him.
And you get vocal cords in there and they jam. Man, they're hard. It's hard to fix.
And
you have the car repairman.
Ed just stood there and chuckled. And you know what he said? He said, "That seemed appropriate as much as she bitched and screamed and yelled at me over so many years."
What?
So now Ed,
puppy.
Ed was a man of endurance.
Yeah.
So he decided, you know what?
I already used up Mama. Mm-hmm. You know, because that was a one and done kind of guy. He don't want to. He want to.
Yeah,
you know.
It was kind of
sloppy
like,
seconds.
Yeah, he was like a black widow. Once he did his thing, he wanted to move on.
Yeah. So then he invited his mama's best friend Sally Hallett over to the house.
Sally, come on over, Sally. Mom wants to see talk.
Upon her arrival to the house, Ed went to give her a big hug, but instead threw his big ass paws around her neck, strangled her to death, and
let me guess, he decapitated her and had his way with her.
He did, and then he just left the scene.
Well, he was very.
And what did he do when he left the scene, Timmy?
Well, after he left, I'm glad you asked that, because after murdering his mother and her best friend Sally. He left California, drove through Nevada, drove into Utah, and he arrived in Pueblo, Colorado.
Pueblo.
And after not hearing, he was, you know, checking the news on the radio, on the car radio, to see if he heard anything about the murders.
Heard?
Yeah, but he didn't hear anything. So that kind of disturbed him. So he found a phone booth. And he called the police. He confessed to the murders of his mother and to Sally Hallett. But the police told him to call back at a later time. They did not take him seriously.
We don't have time for this.
Yeah. So several hours later, again, he's checking the news.
Could you imagine being the police dispatcher? Well, I came home and I killed my mama, cut her head off, raped her head. Them invited the neighbor over and killed her, raped too. Her head.
Yeah, can I put you on hold?
Yeah. Hold, I please. Mean, no, it'd be like, Earl, come here, you gotta listen to this one. We got another one here.
Well, you know, a lot of times, like I said, I think I mentioned this in their last show, there have been a lot of times where victims have caught up, like where they've been kidnapped and held. And, yeah.
And the police don't believe them?
They don't believe them, yeah. So, anyway. Because I'm sure they get a lot of crazy calls that are not, you know, not real. But anyway, he waited several more hours and kept checking the news and still no word of the murders. So finally, you mentioned that he hung out at this pub where the police officers hung out, right? The jury room.
Yeah, the jury room.
He called back and he asked to talk to an officer that he knew personally. And then when that officer got on the phone, he confessed to killing his mom and Hallett, but he didn't mention killing the six women, students. So they believed, so, you know, that kind of got their attention. They came to get him. He just waited in his car in Colorado until the police arrived, took him in custody, and arrested him for the murder of his mother and of Sally Hallett. At his trial, Big Ed pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity, but he was found guilty in November 1973 of 8 counts of murder.
Sodomy?
No. I guess they figured they had enough on him with the 8 counts of murder, because at the time, he had asked for the death penalty, but the capital punishment was suspended at the time. You know, that was that period between, what, 69 and 76, I think, when the Supreme Court had ruled against the death penalty. So there was no death penalty. So he just got life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, at the time of his little shenanigans, his murder spree in Santa Cruz, another serial killer named Herbert Mollin was also very active, and so California became, Santa Cruz became known as the murder capital of the world at that time. Now, it wasn't too long after that you had the Zodiac Killer, and you had Ted Bundy.
It's a hotbed of criminal activity.
And the Night Stalker, right? All that was going out there in Cali.
Yeah, California got some crazy people out there. Yeah. That's why the colonel liked the Midwest.
Yeah, well, but it's a big state.
Yeah, those
too,
are your people.
Hmm?
Those are your people.
The Midwest people? I mean, it's like we've done some serial killers from the Midwest. I mean, they'll set your barn on fire and kill you and chop up your family. But
yeah, especially out of Chicago.
Typically, they're a one-shot deal. Yeah. They don't just keep going on and on and
Eddie
on.
Dean.
Now, if you would like to become friends with Mr. Kemper, he is in general population at the California Medical Facility in Vacaville, California. So, Colonel, if you'd like to put a few dollars on this commissary, I'm sure Big Ed would like
Big Ed would appreciate it. Yeah. You guys can be BFF.
I would imagine Big Ed's got guys putting money in his commissary right now.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And doing his laundry.
Would you like to? How would you like to be his cellmate?
You know what? I would never talk. I would. Although I believe the colonel could rehabilitate Ed.
I believe I could make
Ed see the light. I mean, think about Timmy. When did we start doing these podcasts?
January of this year.
And now you remember what the devil was like over here. She was damn near feral.
Yeah.
She was just damn near a feral person, like you see on the Thunderdome. And while she's not quite, I don't know what I would call, I mean, she doesn't have the normal range of human emotion or things like that. She has learned some empathy. She's not eating with hands anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I believe if I could turn her around.
She hasn't even hit you once during this podcast.
Nary a time.
Although, it's not over yet.
Yeah, well, we got time.
Now, Kemper was one of several serial killers who served as inspiration for the character of Buffalo Bill in The Silence of the Lambs. Your favorite movie, Colonel. Like Kemper, Bill began his career as a serial killer by fatally shooting his grandparents as a young teenager, and then went through a significant cooling off period before murdering again.
But Ed wasn't as handy with his corpses as Baking was.
Now, Kemper will be forever known for his quote. This is probably what they'll put on his tombstone.
Is this your favorite quote?
This is
my
favorite.
All time?
Yes. They asked him about his deeds and what he, you know, about the murders, and Kemper said, and I quote, using real quotes here, not air quotes, real quotes.
Real quotes.
A beheaded woman is just as attractive as any other woman. She just has less personality. So,
I may disagree with you on the personality. I miss a woman. If you chopped off their heads, they'd have the same personality.
Maybe. Oh, that guy was a sicko.
She just hit me.
Yes, she did.
And I met some women. She just hit me. I met some women that if you chopped off their heads, they'd have a better personality.
I got it.
Okay. Oh, my God. That was gross. That might be the worst guy we've done yet. He was pretty
bad.
Yeah.
Well, when you...
And this dude is still alive.
Hmm?
There's always potential he can break out of jail and go.
And find us.
Yes.
He's going to be coming after you, Timmy.
Headhunting, as it were. Okay. So, any final thoughts on Big Co-Ed Butcher, Ed the Co-Ed Killer, or, you know, any thoughts about Big Ed and his love for head?
I would just say this, Timmy.
Big Ed and his love for head.
That would be the title of this.
And let me just say this, and you got to take some personal responsibility for your actions.
Yeah.
But ladies, be careful how far you push a man. He can only take so much.
I guess she didn't have to worry about gag reflexes. I'm just throwing that out there.
It gives the whole new meaning to the term deep throat.
Oh my God, this needs to end.
Where can people find us, Colonel? Brandy, where can people find us?
Libsyn, Stitcher, iTunes, leave a review so people can find us.
Maybe not a leave a review on this one.
Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. Your cake kernel.
Would it come out of the bottom is what I'm wondering.
Twitter, Facebook. Thank you.
Yeah, because please forgive us.
We can be a little inappropriate, but Ed found a one way. Ed found one way.
I don't think Lady Beverly is going to talk to you anymore.
She is not. But Ed did find a one way.
Stop talking. Stop
women
talking.
Did not complain when you grabbed the back of their heads.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, you're my gosh. Sick man. No. You're a
really?
Sick, sick
you're
man.
Really? Because you're up there cackling?
Nary a one of Ed's victims said, don't get in my hair.
You're over there cackling. Don't apologize for him when you're over there.
He's making me laugh. He's so sick.
It's
so disgusting.
Lady, I apologize. That was so inappropriate.
It was.
Now they know where to find us. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You forgot about our Facebook page.
No, I didn't.
I believe she's
good. I went through all of those.
Yeah, come check us out on Facebook, and we'll have some good stuff. This is Halloween month, so we're going to have some really ghoulish stuff because, you know, this is
we're
going
to try to do Jack the Ripper. That's what we're going to try to set up with Beverly, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to try to do that. We got some other stuff lined up. So, October is going to be a busy month for us. Keep checking for our podcast on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook.
I said all of these things already.
And Brandy's already said all these things. And whatever you do, stay away from Big Ed.
Big Ed.
All right. We'll talk to you again. Talk to you soon, everyone.
Have a good
bye.
Day, listeners.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Check out us again next time.